Today we're going to talk about anxiety. What we're going to do is we're going to work to define anxiety. We're going to work to see how that kind of shows up in you. We're going to really begin to investigate how do we emotionally become mature in the face of anxiety, and then really how that impacts ourselves, how we manage ourselves, and then our coaching. So what is anxiety? There's a lot of ways to define anxiety. I know when it shows up. I know what that looks like for me, how I begin to act and feel and all that. But let's just kind of get clear on a definition. It's basically the mind's and body's reaction to threat. You become anxious and you begin to respond because you feel a threat. And so you'll see that mentally, emotionally, but you also see it physically. There's a couple of different types of anxiety that kind of show up over time in us. One is acute anxiety. Acute anxiety is pretty natural. You know, when your child runs into the street, you get anxious, it grows in you, you respond out of that circumstance. It's acute anxiety, and it's just really God's way of helping us to deal with specific circumstances as they hit us. If we enter into autopilot and we are just responding without recognizing the acute anxiety as it shows up, then we may need to be more aware of that. The other piece is chronic anxiety. It's just kind of this level of anxiety that always kind of exists, and it ebbs and flows based on kind of our emotional state. So there's a physical anxiety that we run to. We want to save somebody. We want to help somebody. We know that something's wrong, and it's very acute related circumstance. There's chronic anxiety based on all the things that get stirred up in our life based on our past experiences, based on our current reality, based on our vows getting triggered. And that chronic anxiety that's there, we need to recognize, because it'll ebb and flow, and it'll cause us to respond in ways that may help or hinder our relationships as we grow and seek transformation in our lives and the lives of people around us. And so that's really important to understand the distinction between those two, because then you begin to understand how to manage that, how to deal with that, how to coach different people through those different scenarios as they come up. As our anxiety levels raise, our thinking lowers. As our anxiety level goes up and we forget what we're thinking about, we forget to attack that in a logical way, and sometimes we make some pretty dumb decisions, don't we? You know, we make decisions that may not be healthy for our lives, may not be healthy for the lives of people around us. Anxiety, it's contagious. So if you just imagine yourself in the midst of this system, and if you walk into a room and you're already worked up, let's say it's you're wearing something you don't really feel comfortable wearing, and you're showing up at an event that you don't really feel comfortable being at because everyone's kind of looking at you, or you have to put on airs or to promote yourself or others in a way that you're uncomfortable, man, that anxiety in you will spread throughout that entire room. And just to recognize that anxiety spreads, it's contagious, it moves through the system. So how do we deal with that? How does it show up? It shows up in four ways. We'll break them down, and I just want to give you the four ways right now. Conflict. Anxiety shows up huge in conflict, doesn't it? And distance, as we create distance in relationships, it shows up in how we function in relationships. We can overfunction or underfunction. It also shows up in how we project ourselves on others and the expectations we have with other people in our lives, and we're putting things on them. Conflict, you gotta win. You don't wanna be wrong, you wanna be right. So when we sit in that right and wrong thinking, we got to win, we got to be right, conflict presents itself, all of a sudden this anxiety raises up, and it says something about who we are. We press in, and we fight because we want to win. You can see that, how that anxiety causes that tension there and can even grow conflict. So the idea is not just to not have conflict, to avoid conflict, because the anxiety still exists. And so the idea is not just to not have conflict in our lives, to not tell the truth, to not be transparent with each other, to present our looking good presence in front of others, at least not as bad as a person sitting next to us, right? That's not the idea is to not just avoid all of that for the sake of avoiding conflict. The idea is to recognize the anxiety that's producing and deepening that conflict there. And where is that coming from? Distance. This is a really normal one. We all do that. It's kind of fight or flight. When we see that anxiety exists in relationship and there's this tension that's right there, all of a sudden, we're either going to deal with it and we're going to press in, or we're going to create distance. And you see that show up, that anxiety show up in you when you say, I don't want to talk to them anymore. I remember whenever I was going through 201, I had a lot of anxiety about talking to my dad, about some things that have happened in the past and that were continue to happen. It was really hurtful for me, but really I didn't want to continue to hurt my dad. And so that relationship there was this tension in that relationship. And so I had all of this anxiety about talking to him and telling the truth. As a matter of fact, when I was around him, I wouldn't tell the truth and I wouldn't act according to my core values of who I was. I was actually just trying to make him happy, please him, and keep it safe. And what happened is I began to develop some distance. And I remember with my coach, I said, I don't want to talk about this anymore. And that's such a great coach. He was asking me why. Why don't you want to talk about this? Press in. And see, because what he knew and what I know and that what we all know is that distance does not bring transformation, does not bring healthy relationships, but as a matter of fact, the anxiety there is getting in the way of all that to take place. And it's interesting because as believers, as Christians, as people who follow Jesus, it feels nice. It feels like the right thing to do. Let's not address that. Let's not upset the apple cart. Let's not do all of that. It's the nice thing. But cut off is never an option for Christians. To cut off relationships is never an option for the Christian, since we're always called to at least pray for our enemies. We're always called to at least enter in somehow relationally, to stay connected, even though there's a difference in how we see things. We have to stay connected. And so distance is huge when you see anxiety show up, when there's distance that's being created. And overfunctioning means taking too much responsibility, taking on things that really aren't even yours to take on. Because remember, we talk about looking good, not looking bad. We're talking about winning or being right. If we live in that, we can tend to overfunction because we can tend to take on things because we want our environment and where we live to act and be and live in a certain way. And so that anxiety raises up, our vows get triggered, and all of a sudden we overfunction to create the space that works for us. And we forget the impact that has on the rest of the system, because anxiety is what? Contagious. Totally contagious. And so overfunction is taking too much responsibility for the relationship. Underfunctioning means not taking enough. So to stop, assess where you are in the responsibility, where that responsibility belongs. Does it belong with me? Does it belong with them? Who needs to take that on? The overfunctioner usually looks great, looks like a great Christian, right? You take on all this stuff and you're the hero on mission, gets lots of affirmation, while the disapproval is reserved for the underfunctioner, lazy, slacker. However, both are equally autopilot. Both are equally lack the ability to address what's really going on, the anxiety that's very much present, the vows that are getting triggered, and the anxiety that takes place that causes that overfunctioning or underfunctioning to take place. The last thing, projection. So let's look at that. The common form of projection is triangles. We develop these triangles, so we might get in the middle of, and bring someone else in the middle of conflict or in the middle of relationships and kind of go, what do you think about this? And what do you think about this? And all of a sudden there's this triangle created instead of telling the individuals to go talk to one another. Go work this out. And in the midst of those triangles, what we do is we relieve anxiety between two people by triangling in a third person that gossip. And so we make this person feel good, we make me feel good, but then all of a sudden that anxiety is projected on the third individual, because now they're in the middle of relationships that they never wanted to be in the middle of in the first place, because the two individuals didn't take it on themselves. They projected it on another individual. So detriangling by talking to each person about that person's stuff, not about the other individual. So you can detriangle by making it personal, keeping it back on the individual, not allowing that projection to take place. That's really diagnosing and blaming. We all mean well with that, and we all want to get to the issues. But you gotta see that projection taking place is not really addressing what's really there in the individuals and in the relationship. So let's get into emotional maturity in light of that. The ability to find myself saying I think, I feel, and choose what to, while allowing you to define yourself by saying what you think, and what, so allowing the individuals in the relationship to say, for me this is the way it is, and for you this is the way it is, and not take it on as, so you're saying this about me, or oh, I'm saying this about you, and having the emotional maturity to be able to express what's yours and allowing the other individual to express what's theirs. The key to transformation is understanding your impact on others. When you understand that, you stop seeing others' impact on you, and you see your impact on others, transformation can happen. You begin to see where you are getting anxious, where you are taking on these things, where you are participating in this relationship in a way that is causing some of these things to exist. The ability to know and do the right thing in the face of pressure to do otherwise. There's pressure in you internally, externally, to just function in a way that you know is inappropriate, unhealthy, just not the way in which, in the core of who you are, you want to function. In that pressure, function in the way that you know that you should. And that's a huge step in emotional maturity. The ability to stay connected to other people without having our feelings or actions determined by them. So they can see it different than me. They handle it different than me. To be able to express my anxiety. One of the things that I found in all of this and that's really helped me is to get the anxiety out in the room. Stop trying to push it down, keep it under, keep it hidden, and act as if I've got it all together. Just express it. Just say it, and then the load is lifted off, and you can begin to live into what you need to live into in that relationship with the individuals, and allowing them to do the same. So how do we manage ourselves? That's one way we can do that. We can learn to step away and observe what's going on. Not feel like we have to address it all right then. Step away, take a break. We can calm ourselves physically, emotionally. We can be a calming presence. We can learn kind of physically what happens. For me, it feels like my stomach won't just stop shivering. It feels like I got the shivers when I'm really anxious about something. I'm in a meeting or I have to talk to my spouse or someone I really love and connected to about something that feels really hard to talk about. Maybe take a step back. Just breathe. Allow yourself to be in the moment and physically and emotionally really connect in with what's going on with you. Get coaching. Get outside perspective. Tell somebody, hey, this is happening. This is what I think I should do. The thing that's been most helpful for me is in the coaching relationship, having someone that allows me to go through the entire conversation. It's kind of like a little role play. That's been so helpful because I get to see where my anxiety is coming up, where I'm shifting blame, where I'm over-functioning, where I'm creating potentially more conflict in the relationship. And the coach just helps me so much to see, hey, what if you said it this way, or what if you said, and they really play into the role, and it's really helpful to see what maybe I couldn't see before. The last thing is use spiritual disciplines. You know that daily workout that we talk about? Stay connected to your daily workout. Be involved in those practices, those spiritual practices, and gain insight and intimacy and connection with the Lord. One of my most favorite verses is in the Psalms. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed are you when you find refuge in Him. Refuge is an awesome word for me, especially when I'm anxious. I need a place that's safe, that's helpful, that's that helps me see what I don't see. And it's a refuge. It's comforting. And I know that I'm loved no matter what. And in those moments, I can taste and see that the Lord is good. And that will refuel and propel me into the places I need to go with my relationships with others.